Your heart is the most personal place within you, and your heart goes deeper than anyone on earth could possibly fathom. Brothers and sisters, my name is Father James Dominic Brent. I'm a Dominican friar of the province of St. Joseph, and it is my joy to welcome you to the first installment of a new podcast called Contemplata. Where shall we begin? All of the teachings and all of the practices of the Holy Catholic Church are given to the world for the recovery of the human heart. The point of it all is so that you and I might come to know and love and enjoy God dwelling in the depths of our hearts by grace. So let's say a word about the human heart. When many people hear the word heart, they immediately think of sweet sentiments of love and affection. They think of someone moved to tears after receiving a Hallmark card or a Valentine's greeting. The human heart is certainly capable of love and affection, of course, even very great love and affection. But the human heart is capable of a great deal more. In the letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul speaks of the eyes of the heart. He prays that the eyes of your hearts be enlightened in a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. In Scripture, the heart is the spiritual center of the human person, your free spiritual center. Your heart is the most personal place within you, and your heart goes deeper than anyone on earth could possibly fathom. Your heart is made in the image of God. That means your heart is like a mirror capable of reflecting the light of God. In fact, your heart was made to be the house of God Himself, His dwelling place within you. No matter who you are, no matter how you might have sinned or suffered in your life, your heart is still made in the image of God. No matter how your life has gone, your heart can still come to shine with divine light. Your heart can still become the dwelling place of the Most High. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, the human heart has been embattled. We know from sacred scripture that when God created the first human beings, He created them in a state of grace, symbolized by the Garden of Paradise. First human beings knew God in a very personal way. They had, by grace, a sense of His presence dwelling in the depths of their hearts. They knew God, loved God, enjoyed life with God. The eyes of their hearts somehow perceived the light of God shining out all around them in the many creatures God had made. In the beginning, all was at peace. The world of sin, of inner turmoil, of conflict within and conflict without, all of it was unknown to them. But we know how the story goes. The tempter approached them. They ate the forbidden fruit. They fell from grace. And ever since then, you and I and all of us live in a broken world. Though our hearts are in fact made in His image, our sense of the presence of God has grown dim. The original peace of creation has been shattered. In its place, all of us are afflicted with a certain pathos of the heart, a kind of moral pathology. Our hearts are divided, our thoughts and our passions run riot, and every one of us stands in great need of spiritual recovery and renewal. Every one of us needs a recovery of the heart. The pathos of the heart is not limited to one group of people, but affects us all. It is a universal condition that calls for universal compassion. It shows its symptoms everywhere in the world, and its symptoms are the seven deadly sins: gluttony, lust, greed, wrath, achadia or despondency, envy, and vanity. More deeply still, fallen human beings have a certain selfishness within them, and everyone has certain tendencies towards sin. The fall of the first human beings unleashed forces at work in the world to this day. And Scripture calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. All of the medicine and all of the psychology in the world is not enough to heal human beings of the pathos of the heart. For all the doctors and all the psychologists, at least when they are humble, acknowledge there are serious limits to what they can do. Still, there's one good reason to hope for recovery. There is indeed an amazing reason to hope. The reason is Jesus Christ. For the good God who loves us, the Father of lights, could not bear the sight of watching humanity simply disintegrate in sin and death. The Father sent his own eternal Son into our world to save us. Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal Son of God, come in the flesh. He freely chose to die out of love on the cross for you and for me. Yet death could not hold him. God raised him from the dead, and now he lives to die no more. Even now, as I speak, the Lord Jesus pours forth from the Father the Spirit of love upon the church. Many people, no doubt, will scoff at the claim that the Spirit of love is present and working in the church, living and dwelling in our hearts. Scoffers will surely point to all the sinners in the church. Yes, it is true. The church is full of sinners. The church is, in fact, a hospital for sinners. And no one should be surprised to find ill people in a hospital. What is really worth noticing is that many sinners have become saints by following Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, though we are all sinners, we have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. We have experienced for ourselves something of the recovery of our hearts, and we know the process does not happen overnight. Slowly does the human heart recover from the calamity of the fall. Slowly do the eyes of our hearts awaken to the light of grace and truth. The recovery of the heart is a process. It begins in baptism, but continues over the course of a lifetime. For the full healing and transformation of the heart, however, three practices are essential. The first is listening to the Word of God, especially in Scripture, and believing in all that God has revealed to us. The more our hearts are flooded with the Word of God, and the more we believe in all that God has revealed to us, the more the new life of grace grows strong in us. The second essential practice is prayer. It is essential for us to call upon the name of Jesus, to ask for his mercy day and night, and to pray for more of the Spirit of truth and love. The rosary is a particularly powerful way to pray, time-tested and true. The third and most important practice, however, is to take part in the sacraments of the Church, especially in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is truly the fire of divine love in our midst. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. Those who partake of the Eucharist in a worthy manner are gradually changed in the depths of their hearts into the person God created them to be. These three things, listening to the Word of God, entering into personal prayer, and taking part in the Eucharist, are the essential practices that change us. The Eucharist, however, is the greatest of them all, and the Eucharist will be the first topic in episodes to come. Thank you for listening to this episode of Contemplata. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.